I've worked now with thousands of people, and I can tell you that the most successful, fulfilled ones are those that allow themselves to be part of seven different slices. And those are their health, their friendships, their hobbies, their community, their careers, their relationship or their quest to find one, and their families. And everyone's lives can really, everything you do, whether it's like religion, whether it's, you know, playing basketball on the weekends, whatever it is that makes you feel good inside, reading a book, whatever it is, can fall into one of those slices.
So the question is this: how do thought leaders, school dropouts, former and current students find out what's next after they do or don't cross that stage? If you want to know the secrets to starting the career or business of your dreams, getting paid whatever you desire, and discovering what you do the best with the least amount of effort, then this is the right podcast for you. I'm Sean Anthony, and this is School's Over, Now What? The podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Listen, I'm your host, Sean Anthony. Listen, I appreciate you first and foremost for clicking the button and checking out the show. But perhaps you're listening to us right now, and this is your first time, fam. This is your first time ever checking out the podcast. There's over 2 million shows, but you're here with us, you know, and I want to break this down to you exactly what you're about to get and what this show is all about. Each and every single week, we continue to bring you an inspiring person or a message that's truly going to help you, whether you are somebody trying to climb the corporate ladder, or perhaps you're an entrepreneur ready to kick off your business, or your business is stuck. But most importantly, everybody who has ever jumped on this platform has answered a question we have all asked ourselves at some point in our life. And as school's over, now what, right? What do we do? What's next for us? And because of you, the show has continuously blown up, always at the top of Apple charts, chartable, you name it. And you know how I like to kick this thing off, fam, and that is with the review of the week. This week's review of the week comes from Alloy Ballard, and they wrote, "The podcast I never knew I needed. This podcast, it helps me a lot as a servant leader because we often help others but walk alone in our own dreams. Sean's content found me when I needed it most. Thank you for being a great asset to my life. Learn, launch, grow. That is what you will get here." Listen, Alloy, I appreciate you for taking the time, leaving that, you know, amazing review. Guys, if you're listening right now, and perhaps there's been an episode, perhaps there's been a guest, perhaps there's been a message that you've received that's truly helped you, the only thing we ask is that right now, if you scroll to the bottom of your screen, smash that 5-star rating and leave your review. Or if you're listening on Spotify, click that 5-star rating. Guys, this has helped us do tremendous things. With that being said, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Hey, what's up, fam? You know, building a podcast has been one of the most amazing things I've ever done. It's put me in rooms I could not even believe. But here's the crazy thing. It could be one of the easiest things for you to do. And right now, I want you to have access and learning how you can have your message spread and reach multiple people across the globe. For right now, you can download my free ebook, The Podcast Starter Kit, giving you all the tools you need to start, plan, launch, and grow your podcast today. Just check out The Podcast Starter Kit by clicking the link and downloading your free ebook in the show notes below. This episode is brought to you by patreon.com/schoolsovernowwhat. For as low as $5, you can help us reach more people, tour schools, and even impact communities. You also get exclusive content that nobody else can see and be able to go possibly one-on-one with some of our most amazing guests. Visit patreon.com/schoolsovernowwhat and become a Patreon today.
All right, let's get into the reason you clicked that button. You know, we promised to bring you some guests that, you know, you just need to hear. You got to see what they're talking about. But most importantly, their message and their value is something that is going to elevate your thinking. And today we have none other than Samantha Edis on the show, guys. She's the founder and CEO of Park Place Payments, a fintech company, best-selling author, speaker, co-host of What's Her Story podcast. And here's the thing. On this episode, we're going to talk about work-life balance. Does this thing really exist? You've heard about it, but we're going to give you secrets that she's broken down into seven slices. That's right. Seven slices to truly help you develop balance. We'll also talk about why trusting your gut might not be a good idea or a good saying all the time. And you're going to learn growth hacks to developing your own personal brand. Kick your feet up, grab your pen, pad, paper, however you take notes. You already know what time it is. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 197 with none other than Samantha Ettis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited for our next guest because I feel like there's so many different things we're going to talk about. She's the CEO. You already heard the intro. She's also an expert when it comes to work-life balance, best-selling author, and more. The one and only Samantha Ettis is in the building. What's going on, fam?
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Listen, I'm excited for this one because I know my audience, right? They do this all the time. Like whenever we have a new guest, before I can even get to the first question, they go down to the show notes. They're clicking on your social media handle. They're trying to find out more about you. Take us back to the young Samantha growing up. Where are you from?
So I'm from New York City. I grew up in Manhattan, and I had a kind of unusual childhood because I was a competitive athlete. So I was a tennis player. So it's really funny because we just saw the movie King Richard about Serena Venus Williams' upbringing. And there were a lot of things I related to in there because I was always working as a child. I really didn't have a real childhood. I never went to parties. I was just always focused on schoolwork and tennis. And that was it until I went to college.
Oh, wow. All right. So schoolwork and tennis. So like, here's the cool thing about this though, right? I think it almost sounds like as you're growing up, you were like this workaholic, like this nonstop workaholic. Like what was like the first thing that you did to like just have some little bit of fun? Because I want to get into like this work-life balance thing with you.
You know, it's funny because I really never thought I wasn't having fun. I was very regimented and very specific about my schedule. So I would, you know, go to school. I had a special schedule where I was allowed to get out early so that I could go out and play tennis in Long Island because that's where all the other good tennis players were. There were no athletes in Manhattan. So I'd go out to Long Island every day after school, play for 2 hours, drive an hour back, and then I would start my schoolwork, have dinner with my family. And about 9:30 at night, I would talk to my friends on the phone for 2 hours and then I would go to bed. And this happened every single night, like Groundhog Day. And my friends now, because I'm still very close with my high school friends, they tease me about the fact that I used to schedule, okay, you have the 9:30 slot, you have the 10:30 at night slot. I was so regimented that I would schedule my friends could call me. So I never thought, you know, I had a whole group of tennis friends. So they were all living a life similar to me and we would see each other at tournaments every weekend. So I never really thought of myself as, you know, being deprived of anything. It was only later on that I looked back and I thought, oh, wow, I really never went to parties. I never hung out after school. I never did a lot of the things that typical kids do.
Yeah, but I think the cool thing about it is like I think you stayed so focused, right? And look where you are today. Like as you're going through school, were there certain things, right? We talk about, you know, you becoming a CEO, park placements and all those things, but as you're going through school, were there certain things that were just, you know, capturing your attention? You're like, you know what? I might need to explore this a little bit more.
I really wanted to be a journalist. I actually wanted to be a newscaster. And one of the girls that I grew up playing competitive tennis with was from the Midwest, and her father was Dick Vitale. I don't know if you know
him. Oh, hell yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so I befriended Dick Vitale on the sidelines, and he was kind of like a mentor to me. And I remember he told me I should go to Syracuse to the Newhouse School of Communications because I wanted to be a newscaster. But, you know, it was impossible to pass up Harvard because they recruited me for tennis. So I went there instead. But then at some point during college, I had kind of a crisis of confidence. And I decided that I was not pretty enough to be a newscaster and that I should be a print journalist. And so from then on, all of my internships were in print journalism. And then when I graduated, I moved out to Los Angeles and decided I wanted to sort of pivot and move into the behind the scenes in Hollywood. And it's funny now because like if any of my three kids said like, I'm not pretty enough to do something, I'd be like, are you crazy? You know what I mean? But you get these, I don't even think I'd said it out loud. It was just in my head that this is the path I need to take.
Oh, wow. Like, how important, right? You think about like listening to your own intuition. Like, how important was that for you to get to where you are right now?
I have to say, I know this is antithetical to what most people believe, but I think that most people have really crappy guts. So the idea of trusting your gut is not something I ascribe to. I think most people have pretty bad judgment when it comes to themselves, and that the best thing to do is to follow sort of your experience combined with your intuition. When we just trust our gut, I mean, our gut tells us a lot of false things in addition to a lot of true things. So I think that when we give the advice, trust your gut, to people, we kind of scare them because they're not necessarily always sure of what their gut is. I happen to be someone who's pretty opinionated. I know what I want. I'm very directed, but not everyone's like that, right? I have three kids and they're all quite different in terms of how forceful they are with their own opinions and how much they believe in their own opinions. So, and they're just still figuring it out. And I think that we're all a work in progress. And so at different points in our lives, our guts tell us different things. I think I've always had a really, intuition about people has always been incredibly important to me. So that's one thing that, you know, if I had a superpower, it would be my understanding of people. And that has in many ways guided me and my career. And I like to tell young people not to focus as much on a specific industry that's going to be great for work-life balance or anything like that. You should follow people. So if you follow a really talented boss, they're going to take you places and you'll learn a ton from them. And it's way more important to follow talented, really smart people that you can learn from than specific companies or industries.
Oh, listen, here we go. We're about to get into it because I think this is like your specialty. Like, you really do understand people, but I very rarely have had people on the show who could give advice like that, right? Like, we have, you know, people right now that are listening that may be in a career and they're trying to climb the ladder and they're like stuck with a bad boss. What you're saying right now is you need to follow that good boss, that one that's really good at their craft, right? And that one that really knows what they're doing. I got to ask you the question now that we're talking about it. Like, does work-life balance exist?
Absolutely. I mean, part of why, so my last book was called The Pie Life, and it was a kind of a positive framework for how you think about managing your life. And the reason I wrote it is because I looked around me and there was so much negativity of like, you can't have it all. It's so hard to be a working parent. You know, it's awful. And I felt like that's just simply not true. Like, if you think of life and have a totally different set of expectations and expect that sort of the reason I love the pie analogy, because I always say the most delicious pies are the messy, dripping over the side ones. They're not the perfect store-bought looking ones. So every day you're going to have major screw-ups and you're going to have major highs and lows every day, moment to moment. But even your best days, if you had to actually track and write down everything that happened on something that you call the best day of your life, I guarantee there were some bad moments. And so we tend to label days and years and weeks as bad. Oh, that was a bad year for me. My mom died, or whatever it is. I always say, like, the same year my mom passed away, I had a book come out. I had a children who had incredible milestones. I think that you never want to dismiss one thing because life is a series of moments. And so the way that I've always organized my life is in slices. So even when I was in high school talking, you know, what you had asked me about earlier about my slices, I had my friend slice, I had tennis, I had my family, and I had schoolwork, my health, and boys, right? And and I was always thinking about, like, when I was lying in bed at night, like, how are all those slices doing? And today, even when I've worked now with thousands of people, and I can tell you that the most successful, fulfilled ones are those that allow themselves to be part of seven different slices. And those are their health, their friendships, their hobbies, their community, their careers, their relationship or their quest to find one, and their families. And everyone's lives can really, everything you do, whether it's like religion, whether it's, you know, playing basketball on the weekends, whatever it is that makes you feel good inside, reading a book, whatever it is, can fall into one of those slices. And I think especially women tend to think that we will have more control over our lives if we're just working and working out, right? Like, I'll have the perfect body and the perfect career and I'll think about a relationship or friends later. That's not how life works. It's just, it's supposed to all be combined into one messy but beautiful pie. And that's the analogy I like to give. You know, we tend to beat ourselves up based on time. Most of us are pretty realistic about how we spend our time. We probably couldn't spend any less time at work and be successful, or spend any less time, you know, with our parents and have and maintain a relationship with them. But instead of talking about time, it's more about goals. What is your goal for each slice? So even if you have very little time in your life, but you used to love playing the guitar as a kid, squeeze in a lesson every other week, and then you'll see that slice flourishing.
Hey guys, so let me take a guess. You're enjoying the show. And if that's right, please make sure that you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast right now and tag me at SeanRAnthony_. I promise you this is going to help in amazing ways. And while you're at it, hit the 5-star rating and subscribe. With that being said, guys, let's get back to the show.
Oh man, I like this. I like to break down those seven, you know, those seven different slices. Somebody right now is listening and they're saying, all right, you know, I heard all seven of those. If there was one in particular from the thousands of people you've helped and coached, if there was one that really stood out to you the most that people struggle with, what slice is it?
It's the slice I didn't mention, and it's guilt. So I like to say that guilt is an extraneous ingredient in your pie. Most people are laden with guilt, and guilt drives a lot of their decision making. And if I asked you, Sean, like if last time you were out to dinner with a friend, right? If you found out they only joined you for dinner because they felt guilty, you would feel terribly about yourself, right? You'd be like, that's terrible. I don't want to be your pity party, right? But a lot of us tend to make decisions based on guilt, not realizing that when we're feeling guilty, we're not fully present. So if you're at work and you feel like, oh God, I really should have been at my kid's baseball game, then you're not fully present at work. If you are at your kid's baseball game or at the family dinner and you're like, I really should have been on that conference call, you're not fully present with your family. And so the best thing you can do is be fully present wherever you are. And that eliminates the guilt because you're doing your best wherever you are and you're giving all of yourself to whatever you are doing. And that's what I like to say. Like, if you're going to do something, do it all the way. Like, you know, put all of your heart into everything you do.
Oh, that's powerful, right? And being present to it is so key. You know, in a previous interview that you did with Focus TV, you mentioned there are ways to get or to have 25 hours, right? 25 hours in every day. Like, how can we do that?
So I like to say that you are probably wasting more time than you realize. A lot of people tend to do errands outside of their golden triangle. Now, I will say that the golden triangle has changed a lot since COVID because many of us are no longer commuting to work, right? Now, suddenly, a lot of people are working from home, which really changes things, and it changes the amount of time they're spending outside of their homes. But I like to say that all of your errands, whether it's your chiropractor or your supermarket, should be done within the triangle of the places that you are using the most, whether it's your child's school, your home, your office, your gym. Try to do all of your errands within that triangle so that you are not spending extra time. I worked with someone who realized that she was spending an hour and a half commuting every week to a doctor that she had, a physical therapist. And then it turns out that, you know, she's in a big city. She could easily find one within a mile of her, but she just, it never occurred to her. And suddenly, you know, she had an extra 6 hours a month. So I think a lot of times we're doing things that hurt our ability to sort of maximize our time. So for example, I was asked by the doctor's TV show to counsel a woman who said that her life was out of control. She was running 7-Elevens, like eight different 7-Elevens, and she had to stop by all eight of them every day. She had three kids. Her mornings were crazy. Sometimes she'd yell at her kids so much that she would go back to school to apologize to them. So I went over to her house in the morning and watched her entire routine. And it was a very simple problem. Her baby was her alarm clock. So the second her first child woke up, she was already behind the eight ball because she wasn't dressed. She wasn't showered. Breakfast wasn't prepared. So what I suggested to her is wake up an hour early, which to some people sounds, you know, are you insane? Like I barely sleep at all. Mm. It's about going to sleep an hour earlier and waking up an hour earlier. I call it the magic hour, waking up 1 hour before the earliest riser in your house so that you hit the ground running and you feel prepared for the day that's going to come at you. Because unexpected things always happen in our mornings, whether you have a goldfish or a child or a relationship or a company, there's always unexpected things, and you are better prepared to deal with them if you're already ready and, you know, ready for the morning. You've checked your email, you've had your cup of coffee, and you're ready to seize the day.
Oh, that's real. And that's valuable advice. You know what I like about your advice is like confirmations of some of the things I've been trying out. I'm like, okay, that makes sense, right? I wake up before everybody else. And by the time I get up, I'm ready to roll. So guys, I hope you're writing this down and gaining much, much information. You hinted to something, right? You could obviously coach a lot of women. But one thing is that when you talk personal brands, it's sometimes hard for people, right? It's hard for people to kind of like have that conversation without talking about their personal life. And you think about the woman listener right now that's listening. She wants some framework, right? Like, what is some healthy framework when thinking about this that you could give?
So are we talking personal brands now, or are we talking work-life balance?
We're talking personal brands.
Personal brands.
Yeah.
So one of the most important things is to look at all the activities that you're spending your work time on, right? Whether it's a nonprofit board you're on, or it's a friend you're helping out with a business plan, or it's your own work. Are you building your network in the right direction? Most women especially do not think enough about networking. And everything that's ever happened in my career that's really positive is from relationships. And a lot of people will think that because I'm already established, I don't pay any attention to relationships. But I always say that door is never closed. Every day I can meet someone that's going to be a huge part of my future career. And I encourage everyone to think that. I'm a big believer in saying yes before you say no. There's a ton of advice out there, especially driven towards women, that say, you know, say no to volunteering, say no to that dinner date, say no to, you know, joining that book club. You don't have time for it. And I always think that the best things that have happened in my life are the random things I've said yes to. Because if you say no, there's no chance a new opportunity will pop up. If you say yes, you know, you never know how many doors will open. So I'm a big believer in yes before no. I do that with my parenting. I try to say no only when necessary so that it's more meaningful when I do say no. I do it in my work. I'm always trying to say yes to a meeting or yes to a new relationship. And I also, I mean, I think all of us tend to remember the people that tend to say yes to us, right? Like, we appreciate those people. And I always think when I'm obviously always selling, and I always think no is always a sort of a slower path to a yes. So I never take a no at face value. I always think, okay, you know, there's probably another angle I haven't tried yet.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, right? I love that thought process, right? Say yes, right, before you say no. You know what's also cool, I think, with you in terms of just like relationships and building and learning from work-life balance, from being a best-selling author, you're now the CEO of a great company, right? Park Place Payments. When you think about being a CEO, right, like, what's one of the biggest things you've learned, you know, through that process?
I think it's incredibly humbling, right? Because you're always making mistakes every day. And I think that I'm always trying to be better. I think one of the most important things that I've realized, and this is for people I work with and people who are my team members, as well as myself, I think it's super important to be able to acknowledge what your strengths and weaknesses are. And I believe in hiring around you to fill out your weaknesses. I don't know everything. There is a ton of people that know way more than I do in different areas. And I can't be an expert in everything. So I have to be able to free up my time to focus on the things I'm best at and hire talent around me who fills in those gaps. And I think that that's for everyone, whatever level you're at in your career. If you are someone who can say, I am excellent at this, but I'm really not good at this, it makes people respect you more. And if you look at sort of the most insecure people, they're the ones that are saying they're good at everything, but then they're not. And so then because they're covering up for a weakness, no one actually realizes or recognizes when they're really strong at something, right? So a lot of people are embarrassed to say when they're good at something, but one of the easiest ways to start bragging about something you're good at is to pair it with acknowledging things you're not good at. And I think that in terms of your personal brand, it's really important to understand what you are good at. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. And so I always recommend, if you are someone who has trouble talking about your strengths or really doesn't know how other people see you, have what I call a bragging dinner. invite four friends over, three friends that are quite positive in your life, not people who are, you know, the kind of person who's saying, of course it would rain on my birthday. Like, those are not the people you want to be surrounding yourself with. You want to surround yourself with positive people. You invite them over for dinner. You say, I'm going to cook you dinner, order in, because today it's all about me. I'm trying to understand my personal brand. And I would like you each to talk about what you see as my strengths. And sometimes the people around us can reflect our strengths better than we can when we're ruminating them over, you know, by ourselves.
Man, listen, you have so much information that's like implementing. Like, you can implement this, right? A bragging dinner, right? That can change the game for a lot of people. You can create the actual results of learning and hearing what people say that you're good at. I tell people all the time, if you really want to know what you're good at, think about also too, like, if you had a job review. I know for me, when I think about, you know, how's I going to become, you know, somebody in the podcast space or in the connection space and with clients, I listened to, one time I had a job review, Samantha, and my boss said, hey, you collaborate with people. You connect very well. You do this so easily. How do you do that? And I took that and I realized, hey, I can do this for myself, right? Like, I could package this and do this for myself. So I love that advice of a bragging dinner. I want to ask you the question that we've asked everybody, like everybody who's ever got on this show, who's ever been on this podcast. We asked them, you know, if you were that person who just graduated college, or perhaps you didn't even get a degree at all, and you're asking yourself the question of the show, school's over, now what? What advice would Samantha Ettis give?
All right, I'm going to pare it down to three things, which is hard for me, Sean, because you know I have endless things I want to say. Okay, so one of the things we sort of touched on earlier, which is focus on the kind of person you're working for. Is this someone that's super dynamic, that will expose me to new people, to new information, to new industries that I can learn from? Okay. And if you end up leaving that position, always leave on great terms, because you are collecting that person. They are part of your career. I still keep in touch with my first bosses, and you want to do the same, because they're people that you can call upon for advice later on. You can use them as a reference. So always leave any position on the best of terms. Leave it better than you arrived, right? So it's like if you entered a messy room and you're cleaning it up before you go, think of every relationship and work that way. You're leaving it even better than the relationship you arrived to or the position you arrived in. Mm. The second thing I would think about is your work ethic. I would hire for work ethic over talent every day of the week. Okay. So, and same with work ethic over experience. You can have the most talented person, the most experienced person. If they are lazy or they have a bad attitude, it just doesn't matter. If you are the positive person who has a great work ethic, who is willing to take on anything, is not the kind of person that says, well, that's not my job. If you're the kind of go-getter that really has a great attitude, especially today when the workforce is a lot different than when I was coming up, you will get noticed. I promise you. You can get noticed doing anything. Even if you are in a menial position today, if you work really hard and have a smile, you will get noticed and promoted. I really believe that. And then the third thing is always be learning. So if you are in a position where you feel like you're stagnant, talk to your managers, talk to your colleagues, ask how you can grow. What else can you take on? If there is nothing there for you, then it's time to move on. Because no matter where you are in your career, you always want to be learning. And I'm going to add a fourth bonus one. Is that okay, Sean?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the fourth thing is that I'm a huge cold contactor. Every day of the week, every day of my career, even yesterday, even today, I will be cold contacting someone that I want to create a relationship with. And here's the trick. You offer your social media currency. So if you are suddenly liking all of Sean Anthony's posts and you're commenting on them and you're liking my post and you're commenting on them, we kind of are tricked into thinking we know you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we are just prone, this is human nature, to kind of feel favorable towards you. So then when you suddenly a month later show up in Sean Anthony's inbox and say, hey, do you have 15 minutes? I want to run this idea by you. It's kind of hard to say no, because you're the guy or you're the woman that's been giving him so much social media love. Yeah. So think about the fact that it's easier than ever today to cold contact people. And I would really, really use that in building Park Place Payments. We're now raising our third round of capital, and I will be filling out that round by Some people I know and love, some people invested with us before, and some people are just people that I have targeted as people who would be great investors in our payment processing company. And so those people will be hearing from me today and yesterday and tomorrow, because I'm just a huge believer in reading as much as I can. And then if I see a name that I don't know, I'll connect with them on LinkedIn. I'll start writing to them and go from there. And I don't just do it once. I'll keep contacting them until they respond.
Oh, I like it. I like the persistence that you have. And most importantly, I like the fact that you gave them four, right? And that fourth one, it was a must that they got to take with them. Right now, people want to know more about you, right? They want to find out, okay, hey, where is her social media handle? You know, where can I find her book? Where can I find out where she's going to be at social media wise? Like, what is all that information and how can we give it out to our listener right now?
Sure. Well, firstly, they can visit my company, which is 100% of my time is focused on building Park Place Payments, which is a payment processing company that's run by women and changing the experience that businesses have with their payment processor. So if you are a business owner, we would love to work with you. So you go to parkplacepayments.com. If you're someone looking for a side hustle or a job and you want to sell for us, you can also go to parkplacepayments.com. And if you want to listen to my podcast, you can go to whatsherstorypodcast.com. And we are telling the stories of remarkable women each week, from Gloria Steinem to Abby Wambach to Soledad O'Brien, Melinda Gates, you name it. We've had them on our podcast.
Oh, that's dope. That's powerful. Listen, I appreciate you for being on the show and rocking with us. And for those of you that are listening, always remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it. Yo, what you think? I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I want to know what you learned. So if you wouldn't mind, would you take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast on your phone right now? Upload to your Instagram stories, tag me at SeanRAnthony_, and then let me know in that Instagram story what is one thing that you learned. I love hearing from you, my listeners, thought leaders, former or current students all around the world. Let me know. And while you're doing this, go inside the podcast app, subscribe, leave a 5-star review and a 5-star rating. Again, this helps us reach more people. And if you want to be a part of this mission, helping us change the world one person at a time, it makes a massive difference by you leaving a review. Thanks so much. I'll see you next week. And remember, dream it, believe it, go out and get it.